Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Bergen County. This is John Insulin, a reporter for The Record. I cover Bergen County politics and government for the paper, and I'm here to welcome you on this bright and brilliant autumn day with 70 degrees outside the Record Talk Radio studios, an unseasonably warm autumn day, to another edition of Record Talk Radio, an ongoing series of conversations we've been having for the last 4 years with newsmakers and journalists from throughout northern New Jersey. Well, last night we wrapped up campaign 2015, an off-year election, which meant maybe a little bit less money, a little bit less energy, and quite a few less voters, but nonetheless a really fascinating campaign from my point of view in terms of the races themselves. Good night for the Democrats, you could say. They picked up 3 assembly seats statewide, and they held on to the 3 freeholder seats that they had here in Bergen County. So here to talk to us now about the results, and this is something they've done for the last 5 years now, are the chairs, the respective chairs of the 2 major parties. We have Lou Stellato from the Democratic Party. He's the county chair. And we have Bob Uden from the Republican side. Gentlemen, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, John.
All right. Well, Lou, let's start with you. I mean, your party kind of, I think you can argue, had a big night last night. Tell me what you think was decisive. Why do you think, and off-year elections are a different critter. Why do you think you were able to do this last night?
Well, I think there were a number of reasons that brought the victory to the fold. Obviously, people in general were happy with the county government and the way it's been working. They're happy with the bipartisanship that the Democratic majority has shown on the freeholder board. Democrats reaching across the table, putting their Republican counterparts on important committees and working in unison. I think it's over 99% of the time they have voted together on most all of the issues. And it goes to the adage that the best politics is, in actuality, good government. But in an election, like you said, where we haven't had an election like this since 1999, it was still imperative upon us to make certain that we get the vote out. We were blessed with 75-degree weather, but all that being said, we still only got about 24 or 25% of the registered voters in Bergen County out to vote.
Yeah, that's true. And that's actually a little higher than some people were predicting. But when you do have the assembly races at the top, traditionally not a lot of folks turn out.
Right. They were predicting somewhere between 20 and 22%. It was a little better than the average. But there were some local races that would bring that number up. And we were successful in a number of local races as well.
Okay. Well, Bob, what's your take on what happened last night? What do you think was decisive?
First, Lou, congratulations.
Thank you, Bob.
My take is you said something, John, that I don't agree with. You said a little less money spent. The reason, the basic reason, disadvantage that we had, which showed here in Bergen County, and you wrote an article on it in which you pointed out that the Democrats were spending for the freeholder race 7 times what we spent, and
right.
We spent a little over $100,000. Now, when you've got $800,000 to $1 million being spent on the Democratic county races, particularly the freeholder races, it makes it next to impossible for us to be competitive. And the reason for this huge sum of money coming into Bergen County is the unions. The Republican Party did not receive one penny in union contributions, but the Democratic Party received hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the money got wheeled through PACs, especially the teachers' union. And again, in your article, you pointed out that there was one instance, and I think you said the Pipe Fitters Union, where they had a PAC that was nondescript but had the same address as the PAC union headquarters. This is one of the really big problems that the Republican Party in Bergen County is now faced with. And except for the perfect storm, it's almost impossible for us to win countywide because of the huge sums of money that come in. The unions have basically no limitations, while the Republican Party has the pay-to-play limitations, which hurt us dramatically. That's a real big problem. As far as the assembly races are concerned, with the redistricting, where the districts were redistricted very much in favor of the Democrats, the Republicans had a plan which was reasonably even. The Democrats had a plan that was overwhelmingly Democratic. In the 11th tiebreaker, the gentleman has since deceased, he went with the Democratic plan because he said this is a Democratic state, therefore you should go with that plan. So the reason we can't even come close in legislative races is because of the redistricting. But I want to emphasize the biggest problem that we have is money. And I one other thing. I mentioned perfect storm. What do I mean by perfect storm? When we were successful, that's when, after 7 or 8 or 9 years, you had tremendous corruption, Ferriero, Coniglio, that kind of thing. That's the perfect storm. But that doesn't happen often. In short of that kind of a situation where you have, like just happened yesterday, a normal election, we can't compete with the huge, huge monetary disadvantage we are at.
All right. Lou, what's your response to that?
Well, first of all, the whole premise and the heart and lungs of the Democratic Party is to put people to work. The fact that a number of private sector and public sector jobs have come through Bergen County in the last couple of years is reason that unions have been supportive of us. It's the Democratic doctrine. It's what we live by. I think as far as the legislative races, 38 has always been a bellwether district. There have been probably as many Republicans as Democrats elected there until the last couple of election cycles. But this year, there was a totally different reason why that happened, and it wasn't the districting itself. It was some problems with the candidates that were running.
Right, and we'll get into that a little later in the program.
I mean, I understand what Bob's saying. However, there's still 70 towns. How you slice them up into what districts you put them in a county election, except an election like this where you're really voting for the freeholders, there's usually something else steering the ship, whether it's the Congress, whether it's the president, whether it's the governor. There's always something heading the ticket that this dictates, if you would, which way the county ballot goes. As far as the contributions, I think what Bob was trying to say in an article that you wrote, I think you corrected that article about that Carpenters Union. It was that.
Well, actually, we did. Just for the record, we did have an incorrect amount for that union, but they did make a contribution. And
oh, no, they did. There's no question about it.
Bob is right. Bob is right. There were, in looking through the campaign filings of your individual candidates, there were quite a few union contributors, not just the carpenters.
Oh, no. But again, I had the president of the electrical workers union running for freeholder. Where the union's going to go.
This is true. This is true. And you might expect a few of his fellow union members would kick in on that one. Yeah. Well, Bob, let me pursue that a little further. I mean, do you think money was the only determinant in what happened?
Can I just say it? It was the primary determination. For instance, when you have $800,000 to $1 million, $800,000 to $1 million, and it's somewhere in there because it's seven times what I spent, and I don't have my final figures or somewhere between 120 and 140,000, you can buy huge blocks of cable TV. Just huge. The issues that Lou just mentioned, like he mentions, this is what the Democratic Party is about, jobs. We're losing jobs in New Jersey because of the high taxes. So I'm not sure that is a positive. When I talked about the assembly races, I was talking about statewide. In Bergen County, We maintained our winnings in 39 and 40. The mm-hmm. Democrats maintained their winnings in 36, 37, and 38. We did, 2 years ago, come very close in 38, but we still did not win. It's more than just a couple of cycles in 38. We haven't won in 38 since the redistricting. And so it's more than just a couple election cycles. You're absolutely right. We had an issue with one of our candidates. And if you want to talk about that later, I will talk about it. But the problem with the assembly, the legislative races around the whole state is we lost three. And by the way, it might be four. I think there's still one that's open. We can't win with the gerrymandering that has taken place with the map, Democratic map that was drawn. Getting back to Bergen County and the freeholders in the municipal, there were a number of municipal races that we won, which is, from my perspective, of course, a good thing. But there also was a number mm-hmm. of municipal races that we lost. I would say, and I don't have the final figures yet because some of them are so close, we're probably not going to know until Thursday until mm-hmm. the provisional ballots are counted. But it looks to me like it was about an even split. Again, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Until I see those final figures. So we right. held our own at the municipal level, but it wasn't even close at the freeholder level, and that's because, as you wrote in your article, the huge, huge sums of money that the Democrats spent on that campaign.
All right. Well, let's get to the 38th district in a little bit, but first I have a question I'd like both of you to answer. After last year's election where Kathy Donovan lost the county executive's race, she told me that basically, in her opinion, that Bergen County is turning blue. Now, as we all know, that race was unique in that it hinged on some very sharp policy divisions between her opponent and herself, and it was somewhat unique. But I'm wondering if, in light of last night's results and the overall situation, and Lou, I'll ask you this question first, is Bergen County turning blue?
Well, I like to believe it is. However, Bergen County has a very intelligent electorate. And if you look at the breakdown, there are more Democrats than Republicans, but there are more undeclares and independents than Democrats and Republicans. And Bergen County, to their credit, votes for the person as opposed to the party. Chris Christie, a couple years ago, won Bergen County by 50,000 votes. And Democratic candidates in the legislature on the county level still won. So it's not a machine, if you would, like some places where you only see Democrats elected or you only see Republicans elected. I think that's the uniqueness of Bergen County, and for the most part, it might be a bluer shade of red right now.
Okay. Bob, what do you think? I asked you that question last year. I know your answer last year, but what do you think this year is?
I'll explain. I want to explain it, break it into two parts. First of all, the mm-hmm. Kathy Donovan negative result from last year overflowed into this year. Mm-hmm. I have reports of the policemen from all over the county coming into the county, especially in Paramus, and the argument they were giving is, if you vote Republican, you're going to bring back Kathy Donovan. So we still are feeling the effects of what happened last year. As far as Kathy's statement that we're a blue county, we weren't last year, and we're not quite there, but we're more there this year than we are last year. Okay. As I explained in my remark, I said, other than a perfect storm, because of the way the money gets wheeled now by the unions into the Democratic coffers, it is more of a blue state than a Republican county, a blue county than a Republican county. If this trend continues, earlier than later, we will become another Hudson County or Essex County or Middlesex County. Because what is happening is, and this has been happening for years, young couples move out of New York City into Bergen County when their oldest child hits the school age, because they don't want to send their children to school in New York. They want to use our schools, which are fantastic. But they remain mm-hmm. Democrats. So that's why there are now more registered D's than there are registered R's. So we start in every election several tens of thousands of votes behind when you match it that way. Now, Republicans will vote Democrat, Democrats will vote Republican, but the Hill, other than that perfect storm I described, it is becoming next to impossible. It's not there yet, but very difficult for us to win an election like we this past year.
Okay.
Like yesterday.
Hey, let's turn to District 38, and which has been, as one of you mentioned, a bellwether district in the past for county politics. This year we had an unusual situation in which one of the candidates withdrew after a controversy blew up over his book, a book called Outrageous. This would be Anthony Coppola. But then after the Republican Party decided not to pursue a lawsuit aimed at getting him off the ballot and replacing him with another candidate, he was back in. And in fact, he took part in the debate, even though his former running mate did not. There was quite a few stories about that. Bob, this question is for you first. I mean,
okay.
How much of a...
Oh, yeah.
How much,
a little time to
how much
it,
of that... Yeah, exactly. How much of a distraction was that episode to the overall party effort in Bergen County?
It was, first of all, based on how the freeholder vote went, and based on how the vote went countywide and statewide, I'm now convinced we would have lost that election even if this controversy hadn't occurred. But this controversy was a distraction, and it did cause us to lose 38 by more votes than we would have lost it by. What actually happened was, as far as replacing him, we were advised that the cost of replacing him and putting out new ballots, because it was after the deadline had passed, was between $15,000 and $20,000. So that's why we filed the suit. We could afford that with the help of the state committee. However, the day before the suit was supposed to be heard, we were told it was actually going to be about $250,000. There was no way we could actually come up with that, because if the decision had gone our way, it would have been appealed, right? And I understand that. And there was no way to come up with that kind of money, and that's why the suit got withdrawn. Now, as far as how it actually happened, he was vetted. A number of people, including Assembly Bramnick's aides, questioned him very closely. He only admitted that he wrote the book, but in the same breath, he would say to us, "There's nothing bad in the book." He was then asked, "Give us a copy so we can read it. I'll get you a copy." He would say, "The copy never appealed." So we were being told by the candidate himself there was nothing bad in the book. We only were able to get a copy of the book after the deadline had passed and it was too late to do anything. So in that respect, we got misled. And did it affect us adversely? Did it affect 38 adversely? And did it affect the rest of the campaign adversely? To some extent, yes. How much? I don't know.
Okay. Lou, a question for you on 38.
Sure.
I mean, it's long been described as one of the three competitive assembly districts in the state, and certainly it was 2 years ago when Tim Eustace won by, if I remember rightly, only about 35 votes.
That's right, 35.
But others have pointed out to me that it's been quite a while since a Republican has won, you know, the state Senate or assembly seats in that district. Do you think it's still a competitive district?
I think that it's becoming less and less competitive for a number of reasons. Yesterday, we won seats in Oradell and Paramus and Rochelle Park and Glen Rock, all in 38, that have been long time coming for the Democrats. We also did very well in Fairlawn and Bergenfield, which in some elections lean more to the Republican side, but the last two have been strong Democratic side. But the other thing, John, is that the Republicans out of 38 have become a little bit out of touch with the mainstream. They continue to embrace Scott Garrett, who... you know, in my mind, it does not have the same ideology as the middle. And some of his statements are hurtful to people as well. As far as the fellow who wrote the book, I'm not getting into the vetting process of the Republican Party the fact that he was the candidate. A person like that's got to make a decision. Are you a stand-up comedian or are you a candidate for public office?
Mm-hmm. Can I give
Lou,
a point of personal
Bob, I'll
privilege?
Let you respond. I'll let you respond
to
that. And
record.
I'll ask you the same question, too, when you're done with that.
Okay. Just to clear the record, I supported someone else, Ed Chwinski. Now, in our system of picking a candidate, we have conventions, the county committee and the Republican elected officials. That convention did not go along with my recommendation, and it voted for Popola. I still have the right to overrule them. However, as a rule, I honor the vote of the convention, which is mostly county committee people, and they came to me and asked me to honor their vote, which I did. So, but I lay responsibility on this to the candidate himself, simply because he was not truthful, and he never told us what actually was in the book. He just simply said there was nothing bad in the book. So the responsibility is there, although, like, I guess, a captain of the ship, it happened on my watch. I think Lou hit it right on the head when he talked about Rochelle Park and Oradell and Glen Rock. He's absolutely right. We did reelect a Republican mayor in Fairlawn. We did reelect a Republican mayor in Bergenfield. Now, in Fairlawn, we have a majority on the council. In Bergenfield, only the mayor is Republican on that whole government body there. So those were good things for us that we were able to reelect two Republican mayors. But a number of the towns, as Lou pointed out, have switched, and this all goes back to the huge, huge sums of money that was poured into 38 and also into the county by the unions and by their PACs that we just can't compete with that kind of overwhelmingly huge cable TV buys, because they literally have over $1 million to throw at it, and we can't even, as your article pointed out, we can't even come close to that.
Bob, just a very quick answer then. Do you consider 38 to be one of those three competitive districts still, or is that no longer the case?
Well, I think we have to wait two more years to make a find on that. Yesterday, we were not competitive at all. 2 years ago, we did come within 35 votes. In 2 years, the entire legislature is up, Assembly and Senate, and I think we're going to have to see how that breaks before we can come to a decision as to whether it is competitive anymore. But certainly as of yesterday, it's not competitive.
All right. Bob, a question unique to you. I have heard from some of your fellow Republicans that there's some concern and, frankly, upset with the way things have gone the last couple of years.
Correct.
You guys have held on.
They're
to
lining up to take
the
me
sheriff.
Out. I count, exactly. This morning I counted six.
In fact, six.
I know six.
clearly, there are people who are throwing their hat in the ring.
They sure are
running for county chairman. I'm wondering what are your thoughts going in? Are you in for another term?
Well, as I talk to you today, yes. Now that could change. I don't have to make a decision until around February, March. The reelection is in June. It's a county committee cast the vote, as you know. 4 years ago, I was challenged substantially by Anthony Rotino and John McCann. There had to be a one vote, and then there had to be a runoff. I actually won both of those votes. Whether I do this again or not, as of now, if I had to make the decision right now, the answer would be yes. But that could change. Just like the manager of a ball club, the manager is always the one who gets the accolades or gets blamed if things don't go right. There are a number of people who want to take me out, who are blaming me for what happened. That's the way this game is played. I don't take it personally. I certainly don't feel that I've done anything wrong to result in the losses. but the losses are happening on my watch, and in the end, it is my responsibility. As a former Navy officer, I understand that when you're the captain of the ship and something negative happens, you're ultimately the one who is responsible. I accept that responsibility, and I'll have a better idea early next year just what I'm going to do.
Okay. And Lou, same question for you. Are you going to re-up?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the old adage is that candidates win elections and chairmen lose them. And
I had never heard that one before.
I agree
before.
With you.
But, yes,
That's true in baseball, too, right?
I'm fired up and ready to go, and I genuinely enjoy this show every year, and I hope, John, that you and I and Bob are together next year for this.
All right.
Uh-oh, Lou, you just maybe gave me the kiss of death, Lou.
Oh, no. Well, gentlemen, I do. This is a fact. I mean, this is one of the most popular programs that I do all year long, and I think part of it is because you both know this process inside out, and so your insights are valuable to our listeners. Hey, speaking of insights, we've got about 4 minutes left, and I did want to cover one topic we haven't talked about, which is super PACs. They are increasingly becoming a part of the political landscape in New Jersey. I think the ELEC folks were saying they were good for about a third of the contributions last cycle, and that they're probably going to be growing. We saw it here in Bergen County and even in a local election, a mayor's race in Lodi, which I believe the incumbent won.
Lodi or Little Ferry,
but,
John?
Little Ferry, I'm sorry. You're right, Little Ferry, where the incumbent, I guess, did prevail last night, but after a lot of money was spent. I'll start with you, Bob. I mean, what do you think of the impact
PACs
of these? And are they making the party irrelevant?
But the super PACs, the money from the super PACs was all going primarily into the Democratic side. I have no knowledge of any super PAC that spent money on my Republican freeholders. And I don't know of any super PACs that that I'm aware of that did that. What I know is that that was one of the funnels of money that went and helped the Democrats, both at the assembly and at the freeholder level. I wouldn't know who they were other than what I read in your paper. They're a problem, as far as I'm concerned. What's happening is the voters are now no longer knowing who is spending the money, because my understanding on the super PACs is you don't know where the money is coming from. You just know the name of the super PAC. This is, I think, becoming a very substantial problem in the Democratic process. I always have felt that the answer, and this is one of the reasons I objected to the pay-to-play, that the answer was ID who gives the money and let the voters, the resident, the voters decide who to vote one way or the other based on, if they want to, on who's giving the money. Let there be openness, and that's not happening with the super PACs.
Right. And Lou, we've only got about 2 minutes left, but if you could tell me briefly, what are your thoughts on the future of super PACs in New Jersey and whether they'll be making party fundraising irrelevant?
Well, I mean, you had a Democratic mayor in Little Ferry who won by the largest plurality since he run with the super PAC dumping money against him. And the freeholders, I'm not aware of any super PACs. On the assembly side, that's a different thing. But I happen to think that we need to be in disagreement with the Supreme Court, which is the reason that we have super PACs, with their decision on Citizens United, which was one of the reasons or a primary reason that a lot of money gets to those people running for Republican office, whether it be for president or what have you. They have making it almost the working man, the average man, is not in the mix with this. It's huge money.
All right, gentlemen,
I agree
on
with
that
Lou.
Note.
I have to agree with him.
All right. Well, on that note of agreement, we're going to end our program today. Again, gentlemen, thank you both for your time. Enjoy these conversations, and we'll see what happens next year.
Thank you. Thank you, Lou.
My pleasure. Be well, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right. And folks, stay tuned to Record Talk Radio, to NorthJersey.com, and, of course, tomorrow's record for all your Bergen County news. Till then.